We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Until 1994, few athletes enjoyed the mass appeal that O.J. Simpson did, and then all of that changed. The Simpson family announcing that O.J. passed away yesterday at 76 after a cancer battle.
Welcome to the Masters. Welcome to the Masters. And it never got old all day. It was great.
Mike Danger.
Perfect.
Yes.
This is perfect.
Yes.
God, I live a charmed life. I can say whatever I want, and I got Worm to back me up.
Worm to back you up.
Oh, man, it's nice to have friends like Gene Battaglia and Worm.
Gene Battaglia.
Talk a little golf. Ipe Mizuhara now expected to plead guilty to federal charges of stealing millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani.
It's showtime!
Scott Drew has passed on an offer for the Kentucky job.
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team.
We're a team.
Me and my Buffalo Sabres. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Raja Sanchez Vicario.
I wish I did know of him. I don't know.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome on into the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. So glad you're joining us today at 95.7 FM, AM 950 The Fan, Rochester. In the free-to-download Odyssey app, our stream is up for you on the Fan Rochester YouTube channel, also streaming on Twitch, /TheFanRochester. I'm Danger, that's Battaglia.
How are we today?
Really don't know how to feel. I mean, we've lost a sports bar legend today. We've lost a Buffalo Bills legend today.
A double murderer died.
We lost him. I'll go ahead and I'll put myself out there with this take just to put myself out there. And I've said this before. I think OJ did it. I think he did it. We lost the juice. We lost the juice today.
I keep waiting for the Buffalo Bills to put out something on social media. They have not. He's a Wall of Famer, Danger. They never took his name down.
That's right.
He's up on the wall.
He is. No? Nothing?
No. A lot of names up on that Wall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah?
You know I do Trivia Night, right?
Trivia Night, Monday nights.
Correct.
Yes. We have a lot of our regulars who hang out with you Monday night for Trivia Night and come out to our live broadcast when we're at Three Heads or Tap Room at Bill Gray's.
I heard this one today. It's a good one. The Bills Wall of Fame.
Okay.
Probably today to talk. who is the only Buffalo Bill on the Wall of Fame that is under 6 feet?
Okay. Kelly was over 6 feet. Thurman had to be over 6 feet. I mean, the linemen, forget it. They're all over 6 feet. Is Tasker up on the wall?
Tasker is on the wall.
Tasker's got to be under 6 feet.
No.
No? Come on. Who's under 6 feet that's on the...
The answer is OJ.
Hi-oh!
In roughly 72 hours.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you came here thinking that we weren't going to kind of goof, you don't know our show.
Right.
I'm sorry. The man died. He has family. And yes. I'm not going to be genuflecting about what a great man he was. No, not at all.
We can talk about his greatness as a Buffalo Bill, for sure. And the Bills leave him on the Wall of Fame because, let's face it, he was one hell of a player for the Buffalo Bills. First ever player to rush for 2,000 yards in a season.
I think they left him on the Wall of Fame for this reason, Danger. Taking him down would have been more of a story, more of a distraction. He would have kicked things up. It's like, okay, it's there.
And you could also, invisible. Yeah, you could also fall back on, well, he was acquitted. He was acquitted. I mean, you could say what you want about our justice system, but in the court of law, at least for the criminal trial, he was acquitted. Now, for the civil trial, that's where things...
Oh, wait a second. Like, we take the name down for stealing memorabilia.
I was just going to say that, you know, the real crime here is that OJ had to do time for stealing back his memorabilia. Isn't that the real crime here? Isn't that what we're talking about when we're talking about OJ Simpson being a criminal? It wasn't allegedly killing his ex-wife and her lover. It was the stealing of his memorabilia at gunpoint, ending up being charged with multiple felonies, being convicted and sentenced for that crime to 33 years, where he served 9 of those years.
9 times.
His parole ended December of 2021. 76 years old. Prostate cancer for Uncle Juice. And hey, look, again, his family is mourning today. Never want to... You always feel for somebody who loses somebody that's close to them, somebody that they love. But you're right. I mean, let's call it the way we see it. When you think of O.J. Simpson, the thing you think about more than anything is, oh, the guy that got away with murder.
I am impressed with the fan base here in Western New York, though, because I think most people are handling those the right way. We saw it for what it is, and we just kind of take a half step back. And this guy was showing up at games in recent years following getting out of the clink there. So
yeah, I mean, and active on social media after he got out. I have to imagine the comments were probably, if he was reading the comments, they were probably getting tiresome, but every comment was, it was one pun after the other, like just OJ. And people just coming right out saying, you killed your ex-wife. He's just not even holding back.
Well, it's interesting because he was acquitted, but domestic violence, that was part of it. We've canceled people for that, Danger. So the fact that this guy kind of lived in existence in his own world playing golf and...
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking for the killer while playing golf. I mean, I'm sure the killer was residing somewhere on one of those golf courses that OJ was on. The other part of today that make it, hearing of OJ's passing is a reminder of how much I miss comedian Norm MacDonald.
It's funny how people pulled this out, and I totally forgot about this whole storyline with Norm MacDonald.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, Norm MacDonald was essentially fired from his job as the weekend anchor reporter on SNL at NBC, because the NBC executive that was friends with OJ, high atop the ivory tower of NBC, told Norm MacDonald no more OJ jokes because he was friends with OJ. You remember OJ had a broadcast career with NBC after his playing days. He was an actor. He was a popular figure. He was a beloved figure before the events of 1994. And Norm MacDonald didn't hold back. And man, I miss it. Going back and listening to some of the jokes, like I miss Norm MacDonald's just dry delivery, his sense of humor, and more than anything, the balls to just say, you know what? I'm going to continue to make these jokes. I don't care. Fire me. They did. And, you know, one after the other. I mean, there's clips floating around the internet today that people have, you know, resurfaced from YouTube of, you know, a good 10, 11 minutes of Norm MacDonald just firing off one OJ joke after the other. Now, we're not going to give you 10 minutes of Norm MacDonald jokes because we don't have that kind of time. But I think today in the sports bar, and if you've listened to the show over the course of time, if you've listened to our show through the years, you know that whenever we talk about Uncle Juice, we would play a montage. Every instance of David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian in The People versus O.J. Simpson, every instance of Schwimmer saying the word juice.
But in this, he'll never stop being the juice. Today, he stopped being the juice.
Today, he stopped, today being, he the stopped juice.
Being the juice.
So, I don't know. I mean, it feels...
Do we play this?
It feels as if we should maybe, as a final send-off to O.J. Simpson, one last time, remember your Uncle Juice. Your Uncle Juice was good. Your Uncle Juice, Gino. Your Uncle Juice, he's a good man.
He's never going to stop being the juice.
You got it, Juice. When Chris and I broke up, the juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the juice anymore. We got to get you dressed, Juice. Juice, Juice, a will? Juice, Juice, Juice. Come on, Juice. Juice! Juice, it's AC. Juice! AC's here. Juice. I heard Juice. It's on every channel. You know I feel the same, Juice.
You're going to tell them yourself, Juice. Juice. Juice, your whole family's here, Juice. She's on the house phone waiting to talk to you, Juice.
Juice.
Okay, Juice.
Okay, Juice. We're good to go.
You're home, Juice.
You know Uncle Juice, and your Uncle Juice is
a good man.
Your Uncle Juice is a good man.
He's never going to stop being the Juice.
It could explain a lot, Juice. Just hear him out, Juice.
He's right, Juice.
Listen, Juice. Juice, Juice, this is your life.
Juice, Juice, please, Juice. Juice, we need an answer.
You're home, Juice. You're home.
Just imagine, like, Ron and Nicole, are they greeting him? Like, what is the afterlife for OJ? I don't want to know.
Man, you know, the thing about all of it is, I think most people, when you say, hey, what's your thought on OJ Simpson? Most people, I think, would say, oh, that murderer? Guy got away with it. The guy that got away with murder, O.J. Simpson, has passed away, age 76. All right, we had to start the show with that. I mean, that's when that news broke, Gene. I think you came in screaming to my office like, what happened? Yeah, juice.
Danger, danger. We need an answer, danger.
We're going to talk, we'll talk more NFL. We'll talk more O.J. We'll talk some NHL today as well. We've got a great show lined up for you here in the sports bar. Glad you're with us again. And by the way, you can get us on your smart device where we sound our best. Just ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. Later on this afternoon, 4:25, our good buddy Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period.
We have a relocation coming up, we think, in the NHL. That would be the first since Winnipeg came from Atlanta back in 2011. So that's a long time. Finally, it appears that this is ending. So we'll get the thoughts of Dennis on this with the Stanley Cup playoffs going. And then, of course, get his outside perspective, you know, as we are too close to this here. What's going on here? It's a team that scored goals and should have been healthy. And as long as they got good goaltending, they'd be in the postseason. And everything kind of flipped on Buffalo this year. So what should happen in Buffalo? We'll talk to Dennis Bernstein, fourth period, in the 4 o'clock hour.
And to get an even more specific look at the Buffalo Sabres, closer to home, covering the team for the Buffalo News, Lance Lysowski stops by here in about 10 minutes.
Now, if you come to the sports bar, okay, I hear your objection. And this is a sales technique, Danger. Name the objection. The objection is, oh, hockey, who cares? I don't care. I hear you, but here's why you should care. Chances are you like the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Sabres share the same owner. And that organization right now cannot, for the life of anybody there, figure this out. So does this disease go over to the football team? Is Terry Pegula, someone wrote in, Tim, is Terry Pegula cash poor? The fact that no resources are going into this. You pointed this out, Danger. Last 4 years, bottom four, sometimes 32nd lead in payroll. You're running this as if it's a franchise for sale, as if you're cash poor. What's going on? So if you're like, I don't want to talk about hockey. No. This is a Pegula enterprise that right now has not just this year, 13 years been sitting at the bottom of the NHL. 13.
Well, mercifully, it'll come to an end here shortly, at least for this season. The opponent tonight is Washington.
Yeah. Oh, a fan appreciation night.
Fan appreciation night. Final. Speaking of Twitter, if you're on Sabres Twitter tonight, I'm sure there'll be some good responses to the fan appreciation tweets that get sent out by the mensch that's doing Sabres social media. We'll talk to Lance Lysowski, the Buffalo News. He's going to join us here in about 10 minutes in the sports bar. You have time. We have time for your calls. If you have time, we'd love to hear from you at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. The Masters has gotten underway.
Tiger's yet to tee off.
And I want to say Scotty Scheffler is right now in the top five. -2 through -7. So we'll keep you updated on that first round leaderboard from Augusta.
Yeah, who is Ryan Fox from Australia?
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau is off to a nice early start as well. We talked yesterday to Brian Koziol, who said, you know, DeChambeau, it's not hard to look. DeChambeau hasn't had a great history at Augusta. He's got a good start here in the first round, -4 through -14. That's Bryson DeChambeau in second place right now behind Fox. So we'll keep you updated on the Masters leaderboard from Augusta as well throughout the course of the afternoon. Gene, I hope you're not upset at me that we have the Masters on in the monitor here in the studio. I know you want to celebrate any win you can get. When you're a Mets fan and the Mets are leading right now, the Braves, I think it was 7-4 last check.
Yeah, I'm very calm here. Since last night got rained out, this would be what they call the rubber game here, which means the Mets have an opportunity to win a series in Atlanta.
Yes.
The inferior Mets. Opportunity to win a series in Atlanta. Again, this is the new me. I'm just
on April 11th.
I'm just stating facts. Mm-hmm. Just stating facts.
On April 11th. You're right. You are stating facts.
I did like a tweet that Dan said, like
Dan DeLorean?
No. Dan Fates.
Oh, Fatesy.
Yeah. Something negative against the Braves.
I think I saw that too, that it was not a great start for the Braves this afternoon.
Nope.
But you went ahead and liked that?
Doesn't that make me a misfit? That just means I'm paying attention. Like, yeah, I agree, Dan. Jordan Phillips is signed with the Giants.
Oh, when did that come down? Just now?
Just as we were getting on the air.
Okay. I missed that. All right. A little defensive tackle depth for the New York Giants. If we may, for a second here, I think the Chiefs are going to – I mean, we knew that the Chiefs were going to be looking for wide receivers in the draft. They have a real issue here with Rashee Rice.
Yes, they do.
This is a real tough spot that this wide receiver has put himself and his team in, so much so that it isn't out of the question to think that the Chiefs could just look at his contract and say, you know what, get out of here. We're done.
Or that he may not start the season on time because he's incarcerated.
Right.
Like that, he is facing serious charges for causing this wreck, and thankfully no lives were taken. Nobody got seriously injured. My favorite part of the story, Danger, is like reading off all the stuff that was in there, including this Lamborghini marijuana and the Chiefs playbook. So it's good that he, you know, is making sure in the offseason he's, you know, making sure he's bringing his homework around.
Absolutely. 8 felony charges for Rice. So what could happen here? I mean, usually you see the league kind of wait and see how the criminal case resolves itself, but these are felony charges. You could see Rice on the commissioner's exempt list. And you could also see the Chiefs just outright release him rather than paying him when he's unavailable to play. The commissioner's exempt list is paid leave. He does have a fully guaranteed salary of just over $1 million for 2024. They could void those guarantees based on the language of his contract. So it's not a great look for Rashee Rice, and it's another team that it is the team that if you're the Buffalo Bills, if you're Brandon Bean, I think you have to be wary of. You have to be caught. You have to be aware of what they could potentially do if you have your sights set. That's why I think now, given what we know, and given that Stephon Diggs isn't on this roster anymore, man, there's a team that's inside the top 10, doesn't have a lot of draft picks this year, and has a lot of holes that they need to fill. If you want Roma Dunze and you're Brandon Bean, trade up with my Chicago Bears. Get to 9.
God, you know the family of Ryan Poles listens to the Sports Bar. Tell Ryan, like, accept the call from Brandon.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that feel like a team that would make a lot of sense to do this deal with? Give up a few draft picks, get to 9. The Bears need draft picks this year and, you know, moving forward. They're still building it. And get your guy. Adunze would be the guy that I think Bean would do that for, to get inside the top 10. We'll see. But the Chiefs make me nervous. Knowing that this is going on now, knowing that they already needed a wide receiver, yeah, where are they going to go?
Well, this is, we've reached silly season here. And what should you believe? Absolutely nothing. There are lies. There are smoke screens. Today is a day where you had Jordan Reed from ESPN suggesting, and it was echoing the thoughts of Chris Brown yesterday, hey, the Bills should trade down because you could get a wide receiver that's good and fill some other needs. And then at the other side, you have Benjamin Solak, saying the Bills could trade up to number 3 overall.
Yeah.
Okay, so which is it? The fact is no one knows.
No, of course not.
No one knows. But I can tell you this, the history of Brandon Bean would suggest he's going to trade up. He's done it all every year but one. So knowing that, you need to put out stories that you could trade down, because if every other GM knows that Brandon Bean is calling to move up, well, I'm sorry, Brandon. I know you don't want our offer of a first and a second and a third, but I'm not going to settle for a first, a third, and a fifth. You're asking for more from Brandon Bean, knowing he has these tendencies. So that's the problem Brandon Bean is going to face, is that smart GMs are going to hold him up at the gate.
I'm going to stop short of saying Ryan Poles is a smart GM just because I haven't seen it just yet. So there's another reason why you can go and exploit it, get up into that top 10, and get the guy that you want. Well, talk some Buffalo Sabres here. Season coming to an end. Sabres missing the playoffs for a 13th straight year. Lance Lysowski covers the team for the Buffalo News. He'll be stopping by next. And if you want to join us, feel free. Pull up a stool. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Former Buffalo Bill O.J. Simpson has passed. O.J. was 76. Your Masters leaderboard, Ryan Fox has a two-stroke lead at 5-under. Fox is through 11. Defending champ John Rahm, 1-under through 7. Tiger Woods teeing off at 3:54 today. Things getting going a little late due to the rain this morning. Buffalo Sabres play their final home game of the season tonight as Washington is the opponent. Our coverage here on the Fan Rochester will begin at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to Lance Lysowski from the Buffalo News coming up next here in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings down the throughway today in Buffalo, top of 7. The Wings leading the Bisons 5-2. On the Major League scoreboard, the Mets leading the Braves 12-3. They're in the 8th. Royals beating up on the Astros 9-1. They're in the 5th. Gene Battaglia on the Sports Leader, the Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
I would like to say that every day is an appeal to professional pride. I mean, you lace up the skates and you play in these buildings and you're playing what you love. So it's no different for me. You know, the situation and circumstances always change in life, but how you go about it should never, ever change.
Sabres head coach Don Granato, final home game of the season tonight for the Buffalo Sabres as they host the Washington Capitals. And Lance Lysowski, good with his time to join us on a game day here in the Sports Bar. Lance, we were talking yesterday about Don Granato specifically and wondering, all right, we hear the cries. We know what everybody said. We know that this team, this season, just didn't get off to good starts, and you could put a lot of that on coaching. How safe is the Sabres head coach here with the season winding down?
It's difficult to say. That's definitely a conversation. Those are definitely – that's part of the evaluation process that Kevin Adams is going to need to have. He's going to have to come to a decision. It's not an easy one to evaluate. They were still in the race in April. I mean, that's a situation that this franchise wasn't able to even accomplish for years under previous coaches. They're the youngest team in the NHL. I know that people are tired of hearing that, but as a GM, when you think that part of your philosophy is to bring young guys up and develop them to the NHL level, that comes with it. Critical mistakes in games. I don't care if what their upside is or what they do accomplish. They still make mistakes. It's part of being a young player. So how much of that is on the coach? Why didn't the power play get going? Is it on the players? How much of his coaching and strategy? These are all questions that the GM and the owner, whoever else is involved in that process, is going to have to ask and answer. It's a tough one, right? It's a tough one. The first periods in the power play are really the big marks against Don Granato and his coaching staff right now. There's no excuse for falling behind 2-0 in the first period as consistently as they did. It just took too long for that team to get going. They never really established an identity in their pursuit of becoming a more mature, defensively strong team. That sort of fell by the wayside. So, yeah, not an easy one, because you also have to consider where would they be without Don Granato and his coaching with how he's brought along some guys. It's just concerning, though, when the season ends and you look at Dylan Cousins is struggling, Peyton Krebs is struggling, you know, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuck, they got going, it just took too long. Jeff Skinner is struggling. You know, Bowen Byram had a few good games after the trade. Now he's struggling. So how much, you know, if you bring the coaching staff back, is that going to change? That's a tough question to answer. And I don't envy Kevin Adams because it's not an easy one.
Yeah, Lance, is part of the problem. It's not a problem. How do I want to phrase this? Don Granato, when you're evaluating Don Granato, he looks great compared to the successor that came off of it. I mean, just a nice gentleman and everything, like everything you want, I guess, in a coach in that regard. But do we overvalue Don Granato knowing that you got arguably one of the worst head coaches in Sabre history that was before him?
I don't think so. I think that has nothing to do with it. The difficult part is, okay, you see them lose 9-4 at home against Columbus, but then you see them pull off these great wins on the road. Like, why is that? Why is this team, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, bipolar? You know, why? You know that they are capable of winning games. There's a blueprint there if they just follow it, and the players aren't following it. They're committing the same mistakes over and over again. And I'm not just referring to the young guys when I speak of that. Even their top players. Passing the puck, overpassing, you know, passing up shots. That was a problem in Dallas the other night where, you know, you see Jake Ottinger really fighting it in goal for the Stars, yet the Sabres just continue to just keep passing it, not even challenging the guy. So, and like, that's the thing. I think that when you're evaluating coaches in different sports, there's varying levels of difficulty. In hockey, it's not easy. And it is the easy button that I think a lot of general managers push. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, you got to think about, okay, well, if you fire Don Granato, who are you bringing in? You know, I know the fans want somebody like John Tortorella. That is not a good idea. You don't go from a coach whose system really plays to your player's strengths, then go to a polarizing style that, you know, we saw enough of Ralph Kruger to know that that's not the solution either. So what is the solution? Well, that's why the general manager gets paid what he gets paid to figure that problem out. I know the fans keep citing, well, Don Crown is the sixth longest tenured coach, but you have to also consider they weren't trying to win his first season. Now, technically, you know, Gene, they weren't, you know, Danger, they weren't really trying to win his second season. So how does that play into it? And just because the rest of the industry is firing coaches as the easy way out doesn't necessarily mean that's the right thing for your organization as a general manager.
I would say that dysfunction within organizations starts at the top, Lance. And, you know, Terry Pegula, for all the bluster of him, you know, boasting about what this team is going to be now that he had ownership of it. We praise them for the Pegulas for saving sports in Western New York, and they deserve credit for that. However, I would push back and say to anybody that thinks that they're good owners, I don't know. I mean, when you look at the payroll of the Buffalo Sabres being 28th, 32nd, with 28th, whatever it is, the last 4 years during Kevin Adams' tenure, the Pegulas come off as cheap at best. So is that part of this problem as well, that you haven't gone out and gotten and spend the money that you can spend to get some veteran guys in here, to get some maturity in that locker room, some guys that can come in there and maybe shake some things up?
Yeah, I'm not even concerned about the player salaries because, hey, they hired a general manager to build this with young players, and those players are going to be cheaper, especially on their entry-level contracts. That's part of it. And when you're going through yet another rebuild, good luck even spending money on players, because who's going to want to come play for you? It's a tough sell. Buffalo has developed a reputation as you missed the playoffs for 13 years. You created a monster there. So my concern is, are you spending money on the resources that an organization needs to win a Stanley Cup? Like, for example, a robust pro scouting staff. You know, are you relying too much on video to scout and not having enough boots on the ground to identify players? You know, is your development staff big enough considering, you know, they've drafted a lot of guys over the last however many years since Kevin Adams took over. Their development staff hasn't gotten any bigger. You know, that hasn't changed. They're rushing guys to the American League. They're rushing guys to the NHL. Like, there's a multi-tier problem here. And of course, it starts at the top, right? When you fire 22 people in your organization on the same day, you cannot tell me that ownership is not a problem. That does not happen. That does not happen in professional sports. It doesn't happen with winning organizations. And despite that disastrous day in franchise history, they somehow stumbled upon a pretty good situation over the last couple of years where they brought in a ton of talent onto this team. Great, some really strong drafting, some good scouting by some experienced scouts, and hey, goodbye them by bringing in some good scouts who knew how to identify some guys. But where you go from here, right? And I have to mention what they've done in Rochester. You know, when they first brought in Seth Appert and they got rid of Chris Taylor and we thought they were going to go cheap, it looked like it was going to be a disaster. All the credit in the world to Seth Appert, yep, building it what he built it into, because he deserves a lot of credit. But yeah, like, ownership needs to figure this out here on how do you get this stable right now. And I think part of it is on the general manager too, because he's doing things in an orthodox and unorthodox way, sort of bucking the trend that we've seen across the National Hockey League for decades. Goalie development,
Example number one, you rush Devin, you know, you try to give Devin Levi the job at the start of this season without any American League games. And although an extremely talented prospect who I think has a really bright future in the NHL, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense with some of the ways they're doing things. And that is another conversation they're going to have this summer. Firing the coach is not a cure-all. There are some philosophical discussions that need to be had at the highest levels of this organization in terms of how much money are we spending, where are we spending it, and do we need to reevaluate how we're operating here? Should we stop bringing in all these young guys to the NHL? Because I'm sorry, guys. I don't care who's coaching that team. If you think you're going to be the youngest team in the league every year and you're going to win Stanley Cup, good luck to you, because it's not going to happen.
Lance Isoski, Buffalo News, our guest here. Final home game for the Sabres tonight, taking on Washington. Lance, I know you hear this. I have to ask you this question, but if you just kind of couple the stories here, meaning, you know, Terry Pegula saying we're going to run leaner, as evident by the payroll and some of the things in the front office you're saying, the dissolution, like, dissolved is Pegula Sports Entertainment. The idea that they're pulling out of the arena management here in Rochester. Is this team for sale?
No, not. There's a lot of rumors. There's always rumors. I'm sure that if you go to a South Buffalo bar right now, somebody's having a conversation that suggests that the Wegmans family is going to try to buy it, or insert whatever local business name you want. It's not. And I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. This is part of their family business. They're going to run it however they like. I think that, again, and hey, they just brought in a very talented, smart CEO, COO, Pete Coeli, who was with the Bills, New York Giants. I think that's a great hire. I hope that he's actually involved on the hockey side, because unfortunately, and it's become very obvious with how they've operated the last handful to several years, the hockey team has been falling by the wayside and all the focus has gone to football. At least that's the way that it's been run, right? I mean, financially, they were giving Botterill the resources that he wanted, but then as soon as impatience crept in yet again, they pulled the rug out from under everybody and fired a bunch of people. So, yeah, I mean, whenever you look at an organization that can't win, problems start at the top. And, yeah, something has to be done about it. But it's not a cure. There's no cure-all here. There's multiple levels of this organization need to have philosophical discussions on what they're going to do moving forward. It's not the disaster or lost cause that Twitter seems to think it is, all the people on there. But something has to change. Multiple things have to change, you know, other than just the coach, for this to get back to where you thought it was going a year ago.
Lance, it was a pleasant surprise through the course of this season to watch UPL kind of come into his own. And it's also very frustrating, because it was the thing that everybody said was missing from this team coming into the season. You know, if we just had good goaltending, we're a playoff team. Well, you got it late in the season, specifically, you know, from UPL. But I think that doesn't mean that the questions are going to end between the pipes for the Buffalo Sabres. What does it look like moving forward? What does it look like? Project what the UPL Devin Levi dynamic is here, you know, the end of this season and into next.
It's going to be a challenge for Kopecka Luukkonen, because like Devin Levi is going to be on that team next year. I don't think that's going to surprise anybody. I think that's their goaltending plan, UPL and Devin Levi, and each of those two guys needs to handle it well, right? You're not going to be in goal every night. And that's the NHL nowadays, right? You're going to have to find a way to get into a rhythm. I think it'll be a lot easier without three goalies throwing a wrench into the whole situation like it did in Buffalo and Rochester this season. And I mean, we can go back, you know, the last couple of years with three goalies and how disastrous that was. But this is it. And I think that at times frustrations got into Luukkonen's game. You saw it in that third period against Edmonton, you know, a few weeks back. You know, frustration cannot be there, right? And I understand that they had different development paths, right? Like, the organization has handled Devin Levi one way, and it's very obvious they're handing Kopecka Luukkonen another way. One guy has to prove that he doesn't belong, while the other one has to prove that he does. And yeah, that stinks. That's a really awkward dynamic for everybody involved, but you got to fight through it. Resiliency is a trait that every successful NHL goalie needs. I know that Uko has it. It's just he's got to stay focused on, because he's got the talent. We've seen it over the last few months. It's just the team in front of him has to be at least competent defending, and he's got to fend off that frustration and maybe some of the noise that comes along with a guy like Devin Levi, right? Like, you know, it's the NHL. Whenever you have a general manager, if he brings in one guy, he's going to sort of lean toward that guy as opposed to the one who's drafted by the person before him. So really interesting. It's the one they're really set in goal though. Like those are two really talented guys. Yeah. I'm not concerned about that position moving forward. I'm not concerned about their decor, although it just needs to be tweaked. I think maybe, you know, if they move Yoki Haru, you bring in somebody with a different skill set. There's a ton of talent though. They just got to rebuild that bottom six. Cause you know, as much as that Byram for Mittelstad trade was touted as this big and, you know, immediate improvement for this team, that couldn't be further from the truth. I really like Bo Byram. He's going to be a really good player in Buffalo if he stays healthy, but you took out arguably your best forward over the previous 14 months, and this lineup has felt it. And then you go back to, okay, how are you evaluating the coach? And it seems like every game down the stretch, everybody was using that as the meter for, okay, is Don Granato going to stay? How are they going to perform tonight? Well, look at his lineup. Like, it's not very good, guys. You're trying, as a coaching staff, they're trying to get these young guys to correct these mistakes. You got long video meetings with this guy, and this guy, because they're 21 years old, and to no fault of their own, they were brought into the NHL, some of them sooner than they should have been, and you're fighting that as a coach, and you don't have the depth. The lineup hasn't been very good some nights when you look below the top six, and that's on the GM. You got to do more this summer. You can't just sit back and bank on prospects just saving the day, because it didn't happen this year, and you know they thought it would have after Jack Quinn went down with that injury.
Lance Iskowski, Buffalo News, our guest here. We'll have the game tonight, 7 o'clock. Lance, you're in Rochester a lot, covering the Amerks as well, and there's one positive. This team, wow, 10-1-1, I believe, in their last 12 here. And not only are they making a run here for the first round bye, they might win the division here. So your thoughts here on the Amerks is what this postseason might be ahead for this team.
Yeah, I wish I could get there much more often in the regular season. I went a week ago to see practice, sit down with Seth Abbert and write a story. But yeah, I mean, it follows the trend we've seen with the Amerks each of the last three seasons. Really, where the second half of the year, you see a big jump in their play. A lot of that is youth, you know, younger players, you know, teenagers really, who go through the ups and downs the first half of the season. Then they hit their stride where they get their confidence going. They're starting to play winning hockey. They got a great culture down there, like smart by everybody involved to keep like Michael Mersch around, for example, Ethan Prowl. Like these are very important players to what they're doing down there. They might not get, well, they don't get all the attention as of Kulik, Rosean, and the other talented prospects. But man, they are so important to that team's success. And, you know, it hasn't mattered with different coaching staffs. Like this is the thing with Seth Abbert that's impressed me. Like he's had different assistants almost every year as his head coach where there's been turnover and, you know, you're working on, you know, with different coaches and building power plays, penalty kills. And while the special teams, it's up and down based on your personnel, like overall their team game, like they're going to make the playoffs for the third year in a row. And, you know, they got a really good shot at going on a run here. Like not to jinx them or anything, but they got a really talented goalie. They might add even more talent, you know, so boy season ends sooner than people expect. Like Anton Wahlberg is just, he looks like a beast at that level. So we'll see. I mean, I can't say enough good things about what they have going on down there. And again, like that's a credit. It's one of the things that, you know, this group has gotten right over the last few years. Like you know, at first we thought it wasn't going to work out and didn't really know what to think of the plan, but man, they hired the right coach. They've let him build it the way that he wants and look what you have there.
All right, Lance. So I'm not wishing this on him, but I know it's something that he would aspire to. What you spent time with Seth Abbert, and we know how impressed we are by Seth, and we talk to him every week here in the sports bar. I mean, what do you think the plan is for Seth Abbert? Is he the plan B? And we can point back to the couple of games that Seth got the call up when Don was not feeling well earlier this year. It was almost as, I mean, you could have very easily given Matty Ellis the role for a couple of nights behind the bench, but you didn't. You brought up Seth Abbert. What does that say?
Well, I know what the messaging was when they did it, that they didn't want to mess with continuity. And I think too highly of Seth to refer to him as a plan B, but yeah, I mean, if they decide to make a coaching change at the NHL level, he's going to be at the top of the list of candidates. He's earned that. He's earned that with success, not only in the regular season, but the postseason. And we've seen firsthand, like winning in the Calder Cup playoffs with a younger team, and you're facing Utica, Syracuse with 32-year-old men, and you've got 19-year-old kids, incredibly impressive. So I think you're going to hear his name if that happens. I think you're going to hear Michael Pekka's name. as a candidate. Like, continuity is going to be the theme if they do decide to go ahead and make a change. They're not going to want to turn this entire organization over and go with polarizing styles and new voices. I think, you know, if you bring in a different coach with a different point of view, and, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And if they don't promote Seth Appert at some point, he's going to get a job elsewhere. That's the way this business is, because he's earned that. He's earned that reputation, and he's somebody that people talk about now.
So, Seth, Monday, I'm just curious. You're the only person I've talked to that was actually in a spot to see the eclipse. You were down in Dallas, you know, getting ready to cover the Sabres. So tell us what because we had
cloud. Cool.
Yeah, it was that was it?
Yeah. Hey, no, went completely dark. It was awesome. I mean, a little different. No cloud coverage, so it was good. It was good. You know,
you come back to Buffalo.
Worth the hype, probably not.
You come back to Buffalo, and you got the overcast skies, and you can't see the sun for the next 3 days, and the 10-day forecast has nothing but rain. You enjoy your time down there in Dallas when you have that, Lance. You get to see the eclipse the way we all hoped we could see the eclipse on Monday.
Of course. Of course. So, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait for the next one, right?
Lance, what can we go check out? The Buffalo News and the Maintenance Day Pod, everything that you got working here?
Nothing in particular, guys. Just getting to the next couple of days, and then it's time to cover some Amherst playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, do you have any expectations for locker cleanout day this year?
Nobody's losing their love of the game.
Yeah, I think it all is going to depend on what happens with the coach. The tone and the substance of the conversations is going to depend on what they decide with Don Granato. You know, like that, it's a simple fact, because we've already seen what happens when the coach gets fired and the players are going to pin it on themselves, which they have. That has been the consistent message from the players. It's on us. Mm. And again, like when you go back to that debate, it's, you know, if their power play was a few percentage points better, guys, they're probably in the playoffs. Like, it's the reality. And that's what makes this such a challenging, I think, debate, not for fans, but when you're the person in the seat who has to go to your boss and say, hey, I know I told you to give this coach a 2-year contract extension, but not easy, not easy. So yeah, it depends. Like if they keep Granato, it's going to be a lot about moving forward, what they're going to have to do differently. And if they make a coaching change, it's going to be a lot of players who are, yeah, it's going to be a tough scene, just like it was after they fired Housley in 2019 in particular.
Lance, thank you for giving us the time this afternoon, man. Have a great night tonight. And we'll be looking for your work on the Buffalo News website.
Thanks, guys. Hey, always a pleasure. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Lance Lysowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News. Final home game of the season tonight with the Washington Capitals coming in. Caps have something to play for. Buffalo, meh.
I'm glad Lance brought up they run so thin in the front office.
Yeah.
That's
all. We remember that day when they gutted the organization. Botterill, his entire staff, Tails, everybody. I mean, that was during the pandemic. We were kind of outraged. They did it, you know, under the umbrella of, well, these are challenging times, and everybody is tightening their belt right now. And I don't know. Have they really, like, replenished any of that? I don't think they have, because they've gotten by without it, and they can continue to get by without it, get mediocre results. I mean, you're hoping to get great results with minimal investment.
The Pegula line, we're going to run leaner. I think that's the last time we heard from him on the Sabres, by the way.
Sure. Also interesting that Seth kind of shares the opinion that we do. If you were to make a coaching change, you have to have Seth Appert at the top of that list. I mean, he's earned it. One, his success in Rochester is great, but you'll just look at the relationships he's developed with a lot of these players. The players that are in Buffalo that played for Seth with Seth here in Rochester, he still has those relationships. The Quins, the JJs, the UPLs. I think, and now he's developed even more when you consider Levi has been here, and you've got Kulik and Rosane, who will eventually be in Buffalo. I think that's when you're looking at continuity, I think that's as close as you can get with continuity.
Well, play this out though. Because here's what we're anticipating. I anticipate Rochester Americans Hockey Memorial Day weekend, if not longer.
Sure.
Are like, if they do what we don't think it will happen, by the way, I don't think that Don Granato is going to get let go. We're laying out the reasons why this could happen, but ultimately, in an organization that is not spending money, why would you spend more money to hire a coach when you just gave Don Granato a contract extension that hasn't yet to kick in? That's the bottom line, in my opinion. But if you do make that move, all right, that would be on Monday or sometime next week, and the Amherst have another week, and you're going to go through the process. I mean, Seth Apper would have a big old distraction, okay? Like, okay, that job is open. I mean, can he fight? And furthermore, if the Amherst do what we hope they do, is go deep into the playoffs, get to at least where they were last season, are the Sabres willing to wait that long? Because the offseason evaluation process with the draft and everything else and blah, 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 you know, it's like you'd like to have that coach on board as soon as possible.
Appreciate Lance stopping by the sports bar and sharing some of his Sabres insight. We'll talk a little bit more, not just Buffalo Sabres, but NHL hockey with Dennis Bernstein next hour, the fourth period. Our buddy Dennis checks in from Los Angeles just after 4:20, right around 4:25. Next up in the sports bar after this break, we get to some takes on tap. It's time for I'll Drink to That.
Yeah. Can I just say I love Dandelion, kind of like I'm his older brother, you know, like a Dandelion he produces here. But sometimes like a brother will piss you off. And Dandelion last night, I think, committed an egregious sports foul online. And you're going to agree with me.
You're going to say something about Dandelion on the air that's going to get you in trouble with HR? What are you going
to
do?
No. It's strictly sports conversation. It has nothing to do with work performance or anything. Again, he's like my little brother, okay? Uh-huh. But this is like what he's doing here. No. Wrong.
We got a little bit more clarity on a pretty significant story in Major League Baseball today, and it looks as if this significant story is going to go away pretty quickly, which I'm sure Major League Baseball loves, but all of it, it's kind of ironic that on a day where we're talking about losing OJ, a guy who probably benefited more from our wacky legal system than anybody in the public eye, another player in professional sports may be able to kind of get off and have all of this.
This is going to have a nice...
Yeah, nice clean break. Yep. We'll get to that and more next. Some takes on tap. I'll drink to that. Your calls as well at 866-4326-585. 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.